Welcome, everyone, to Big News Wednesday. Welcome, one and all, to the Damage Board on a Big News Wednesday with me and J.R. Jackson. J.R., how's it going?
What's going on? What's going on? You know what bugs me? You know what grinds my gears, John Iadarola?
What?
You know what really bugs me? You know what? Why is it that heels, when they win, they never actually win straight up? It always has to be some kind of way with some cheating scheme. You know, the only heel that wins straight up ever is Damian.
No, Gunther.
Ever.
Anyway, I knew you were going to make some sort of reference to wrestling. I am going to continue my titanic struggle to not make the show just about my personal interests. I would like to, and I'm sure we'll talk about it during the social breaks because I think that Liv Morgan got done dirty. But anyway,
absolutely,
we're going to talk about that during the social break. During the real show, though, we will be talking about the news because there's a lot of news to talk about. So you can expect over the course of the next hour that we're going to be talking about the insane conspiracy theories being pushed by the right about the cardiac arrest of Bronny James. We've got Rudy Giuliani finally admitting that he had lied. That's going to be fun. The Supreme Court potentially facing some actual ethics constraints, and wait until you see who's mad about it. And a Democrat going on a thirst strike. A Democrat actually doing something. You love to see it. So we're going to give them some credit. And then there's a whole lot more besides that, let alone in the aftermath. We're going to be talking about, let's see, what do we got? Greg Gutfeld seeming to do whatever he can to be fired by Fox News. Will he succeed? Stay tuned to find out. How much control should schools have over what the students post on social media? We've got, I think, a fascinating test of that. And we're also going to be talking with a journalist, Claire Goforth, who scored one of the most exclusives that I was not expecting would be an exclusive. She got to talk to Cat Turd. And I'm going to ask her the question, why should anyone know who Cat Turd is? So anyway, she's got a report up on Daily Dot. We're going to dive into it and see why it is that he has captivated the right so much coming up in just a little bit. Way in advance of that, though, please hit the like button, share the stream, and send us your comments, tweets, super chats, and all that and more. We'll respond to as many as we can. We will also give one of you a $100 Blue Apron gift card. So look forward to that. And with all that said, Brett, why am I calling you Brett? JR. You're not Brett. Who am I going to call Brett on Fridays? JR, are you ready to start the show?
I guess we look alike, bro. We look alike. I'm ready.
You're indistinguishable. Same opinions, same look, same hats. And anyway, it's also ironic that I messed it up when asking if you're ready for the show when I clearly am not. Anyway, with that said, why don't we jump into our first story? It took mere moments after the news breaking that Bronny James had suffered a cardiac arrest for right-wingers to begin spinning opportunistic conspiracy theories about the COVID vaccine. That got a real big boost by Elon Musk, who decided to just ask questions, saying, "We cannot ascribe everything to the vaccine, but by the same token, we cannot ascribe nothing. Myocarditis is a known side effect. The only question is whether it's rare or common." Now, there's a lot of active misinformation just in that, but we are way past just Elon Musk's tweet. Right-wing media has gone crazy over this. Take a look.
Well, today Elon Musk was pilloried for suggesting that the COVID shot might have had something to do with what happened to Bronny. Now, he may be completely wrong. It's speculation. But we do know that myocarditis is a side effect of the vaccine, and given everything the so-called experts got wrong during COVID, we shouldn't condemn anyone who's asking questions.
People are angry at Elon Musk because Elon Musk rightly pointed out that with young athletes, there has been a higher incidence of myocarditis. Now, do I know that that was the case here? I have no idea. I'm thankful that they were able to save this young man and that apparently he's going to be okay. That's what I heard. But however, I do think that we need to look into this issue of myocarditis more deeply and aneurysms more deeply and other impacts. And is any of it associated with COVID or vaccines? I don't know. But Elon Musk got eviscerated for suggesting that we ask the question.
Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you. Big news next hour. Elon Musk came out and said he thinks it's the shot. He thinks LeBron James is from the shot. Elon Musk suggests 18-year-old Bronny James cardiac arrest due to vaccine injury, myocarditis. Yeah, you can't stop the signal. You thought Alex Jones was a problem? Now you got Elon Musk, Tucker Carlson, and Joe Rogan on your ass. The Lord works in mysterious ways. Praise God. Praise Jesus.
Praise God that we can take a tragedy that a family's currently suffering from and use it for our own devices. We've now linked myocarditis and pneumoniacs and all sorts of diseases. You do not get to claim to be a serious person asking serious questions about a condition that you don't even know what the word is. It's not myocarditis. Anyway, the main issue is not just that they're immediately saying, as they do when anyone notable gets sick, let alone dies, they will immediately say it was caused by the vaccine. It doesn't need to be something that's tied to the vaccine. They don't need to know if the person was vaccinated. That's not the fundamental problem here. The fundamental problem is the way that they are openly deceiving you about what Elon Musk was doing and trying to re-spin the narrative of it, that he's just asking questions. Why are you all freaking out when he's just suggesting boldly, bravely, that we should look into whether there's a connection? Oh, I don't know. Maybe because that's not the bold, brave stance you think it is. You know who does ask those questions? You know who tries to answer those questions? Effing scientists and doctors. They already have. There are already studies looking into specifically this thing that you just are asking questions about. No association between out-of-hospital cardiac arrest and COVID-19 vaccination. You can go read that if you're actually interested in this. They are, of course, not actually interested in this. They just like the idea that it could be due to the vaccine. And then they throw out other dishonesty right there. Elon Musk, Sean Hannity says, is just noticing that there's just a lot more of this. First of all, how has he demonstrated that? That there's more of it? Are we 5 years old? Can we not distinguish between the fact that a person with a notable name suffered a tragic health condition and that means more of it is happening? Now, it could be that more of that is happening. That's the sort of thing that actual scientists look into. With the scientific method, look it up. But simply just saying, oh, a famous person got something, so clearly it's due to the thing that I've been demonizing for the last few years, is not actually as scientifically rigorous a position as you seem to think it is. I've got more, including more studies that they won't care about, but JR, what do you think?
Well, damn, John, coming in hot. It's kind of hard to follow, but this is the thing. Speaking of the, it's happening more often. The occurrences of it keep going down. These are the people who are exhibiting how much they would control the general conversation around topics. Just because you talk about it more doesn't mean it's happening more. You're just talking about it more. And by the way, the way that they're talking about it is what we do know, no study, no examples, no evidence. Nobody is actually saying what you do know. You just said you know it because you said you know it. Why do I think that you know it? Because you've convinced enough people that you know anything. So once you've convinced them of that, you can just go into any news report and say, what I do know is this. Why should I trust that you know what you're doing? You're working for a news station that literally had to fire their biggest, most successful anchor and host because he's lying, and the rest of them are lying and behind the scenes covering up what they were saying to their audience. So why should we trust what you know? What you know from recent history is nothing. Actually, what you know is the truth, but you lie about it openly to your audience. It's even worse than not knowing. So calm down with all that. But number two, as Alex Jones is celebrating this whole thing, look at all these people now talking about it. Elon Musk, me, the Sean Hannity, Fox News. A murderer's row of people who will continue to lie to you. Yes, Alex Jones was on the upper echelon of that because of how loud he is, but doesn't mean he's not saying the exact same things that they were saying. Don't forget, I think people are starting to forget this. As much of an outcast as Alex Jones has begun to become, Donald Trump was his best friend. He showed up on his show. He talked to him. He promoted him and all that. So this wasn't some outside fringe figure that had no connection to Donald Trump, the administration, and Republicans everywhere, because he's the exact same position, even though he's on this outward streaming show versus a Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham and the Fox News folks. Yeah. They're all on the same playing level field when it comes to people who listen to this madness. And again, how much do they care about LeBron James and his son before? When LeBron James was talking about police brutality and black folks being hunted down in the streets every effing day, how much did they care about LeBron James and his son then? About as much as they do now, as they're using him for their next benefit. It's the same thing every time. We hate that black athlete, but once we can use his black son for our benefit in our lives, all of a sudden we love talking about him. It's weird how that works.
And conveniently, it not only helps to advance their argument that the vaccine causes myocarditis, but also, hey, we get to look like we care about what happened to a black person. Isn't that convenient? So in addition to their asking questions that they're so disinterested in actually having answers to, that they didn't even look into whether this has been studied, which it has. They don't care that the CDC has already done analyses of this, the results of which span many countries, showing that, yes, myocarditis was a side effect of the first gen vaccines. In some cases, it was extremely rare, but it was found. It was far more common from people who'd suffered COVID, which is not hard to understand because myocarditis is generally caused by viral infections. It's inflammation in the middle layer of the muscle of the heart as a result of viral infections generally. Now, the side effect of the body adapting to a new vaccine can temporarily cause mild symptoms of that. But as the CDC has repeatedly pointed out, severe forms of myocarditis, which are an actual threat to people's lives, are far more common with the virus than the vaccine. And also, I would like to throw out more facts that they will completely ignore. It sucks that following a pandemic, an athlete like Bronny James can just keel over with cardiac arrest. And as I was saying earlier in the show about conspiracism and why it develops, it sucks to know that we live in a world where there is chaos like that. That someone who looks like they're not just in good health, but they're impressive athletes. They're in the best of health. How could they possibly keel over? Well, here's the thing. You might want to construct some sort of conspiratorial worldview that makes that conceivable to you. And if that's a more convenient, warm, cozy place to live, then do it. But unfortunately, those of us who want to live in the real world have to contend with the real world. And in the real world, you know what sucks maybe even more than the fact that it happened to Bronny James? It's that it happens and not just post-COVID. It took maybe 2 minutes for me to find all of this. 2011 study, sudden cardiac death in young athletes, a literature review and special considerations in Asia. Okay, this is from 2009. Sudden deaths in young competitive athletes. Analysis of 1,866 deaths in the US over a less than 3-decade period. Almost 2,000 people suddenly keeling over despite being in apparently very good health. Myocarditis in the athlete. Very specifically, myocarditis. The American College of Cardiology. That's 2018. This is not a new thing. It's not difficult to discover that it's not a new thing. It takes literally just moments to find that out. But it wasn't just caused by the vaccine. It wasn't even just caused by COVID. It's a thing that can happen because we live in a cruel world, okay? Where chaotic things happen. But that doesn't mean that you need to suddenly try to convince yourself that there are literal lizard men in the White House and people eating baby faces to make sense out of a world that is unfortunately not everything we wish it was. What happened to Bronny James? What happened to the James family is a tragedy. Equally a tragedy to the literally thousands of families in the US and abroad where this has happened and will continue to happen regardless of vaccines and COVID. Apologies, JR.
Oh, no worries. Yeah, no, by the way, there's only one other thing really I had to say about as far as these guys and their propaganda on this whole thing is Elon Musk tweeted about it. Elon Musk. Who's Elon Musk? Elon Musk is a guy who inherited a bunch of money and invested in some businesses and does nothing as far as those things is the smart aspects of those businesses. But he just puts his name on it as he did with Twitter and then starts destroying that in whatever ways he wants to mold it within himself. So again, he's a guy who has money and does whatever he wants with it. Why does that qualify him to say anything about this and then force other folks that are in the news business, I guess journalism, you may sometimes call it, to discuss what he talked about by just piggybacking on the backs of it? This is a big indication and illustration of the way we as Americans take information. If the guy has money, no matter what field he's in, no matter what he's ever done in his life, because he's got money, we automatically go, Elon Musk said this, therefore it's true. Why? Because he's got money. He's got money. So therefore, we should believe anything he says that has been absolutely and obviously debunked by everyone that's surrounding him, people who actually know what they're talking about, debunk the things that he said. But he's got money, though. That's why we should believe him. But oddly, at the same time, the reason we shouldn't believe scientists is because this crazy thing, listen, is they're going to make money off of it. Mm-hmm. What sense does any of this make? And by the way, that's a lie. So the scientists are trying to make money off it, according to conservatives. And that's why they're pushing this, because some deep state dark figure named Brandon is paying them to lie on these scientific, deep scientific studies that the 99% of the scientific community agrees upon. They're trying to make money off it, so we shouldn't believe them. But the guy who has money based off of nothing around this, we should believe because he's got money.
Yeah.
100%. Sorry. I have to repeat it one more time just to make sure that it made any sense, because it doesn't.
Yeah, to simplify it, billionaires are better than us. They're smarter than us, and you should trust them over, you know, the evidence of your lying eyes. That's what many of these people actually believe. And all of them believe that they are truth seekers and all that, when all they do all day online is just find something warm to stick their head in so that they don't have to contend with how the world really is. Anyway, we're going to move on to someone who, in comparison to Elon Musk, is somehow looking less pathetic these days. I didn't expect that that would be possible, but let's jump into it. Rudy Giuliani has now admitted to making false statements regarding election workers that Donald Trump had claimed tampered with ballots in the 2020 presidential election recount in Georgia. So this came about as a result of the ongoing defamation lawsuit brought by Ruby Freeman and Wandria Shay Moss, who claim that their lives were effectively ruined as a result of harassment and death threats following the fact that prominent right wingers, particularly Rudy Giuliani, decided to make them the face of the big lie in Georgia. If you don't recall the lies that were told, here is a little catch up.
Quite obviously, surreptitiously passing around USB ports as if they're vials of heroin or cocaine. I mean, it's obvious to anyone who's a criminal investigator or prosecutor, they are engaged in surreptitious illegal activity again that day. And that's a week ago, and they're still walking around Georgia lying. How can they say there's no fraud? Look at that woman. Look at her taking those ballots out. Look at them scurrying around with the ballots. Nobody in the room, hiding around. They look like this. They look like they're passing out dope, not just ballots. It is quite clear they're stealing votes.
Good. I was getting really worried there that he wasn't going to make it explicitly racist. But thank you, Rudy Giuliani, for finishing off your little equation there. Thankfully, he has now admitted, despite for literally years lying about it, that he had lied. In a court filing just yesterday, former mayor of New York conceded that he had made the statements and had published them to third parties, but said that such an admission would not change his argument that they were, quote, constitutionally protected and had not adversely affected the workers concerned. Giuliani did not contest that, quote, to the extent that the statements were statements of fact and otherwise actionable, such actionable factual statements were false. That's fun. It's almost like a sentence you'd expect in a kid's book or something. But anyway, look, I don't know how much more legal trouble this will put him in. But what I do know is that he is now finally admitting, not that it will affect any one of the people who loved these racist lies being told about these two women. They knowingly lied about them. They effectively ruined their lives, ruined their careers, drove them out of the lives that they wanted to live so that they could have a tiny little chance of Donald Trump remaining as president. It absolutely sucks. This is not justice, JR, but at least now he's admitted it.
Well, he's admitted it for his own benefit, right? He thinks he's going to move something along in the next parts of the case. Am I right about that? He's going to take the next steps in the case, whatever, he's going to admit this part so he can try and defend himself in these other realms. Again, it's a blow-off type of admission. He's like, these two ladies that I slandered like this mean nothing. Yeah, sure, I lied about him, but that was so I could benefit politically and help the guy who's been lying since he was born stay in office, or at least skirt these charges and everything that he was up to. Big deal. It's just a couple of black women. Who cares about them? To this day, he's still on that. He thinks people are going to listen enough to say, yo, whatever it is that now Rudy Giuliani is admitting to lying about just means nothing. How much do they talk about how people lie about things in politics and how it's devastating? And look at these lies of the Biden administration and the Biden family. After all, these politicians have lied. They lie all the damn time. But now that it's you lying about it in court, admitting how you lied and slandered certain people because you want to tip the scales of the election in favor of your idiot president, then somehow this is just something we should not care about anymore. It's another example of how they think they can admit the worst things that they do in society and throughout our country, and the effects on the way that we see things in reality mean nothing. I can admit it and move on to the next step. why should we listen to you any further? They have this grip on a certain percentage of Americans and they think that's enough. Maybe it is. But look, this is if anybody else who admits in court that they did something wrong, this month lying about it, and then go, what's the big deal? I just lied. See the consequences that come for them.
I hope that there are consequences. As of right now, the two women have not given a statement as a result of this, but it seems like the sort of thing that would result in additional legal action. Stay tuned to find out. With that said, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, an effort finally to rein in some of the corrupt excesses of the Supreme Court, and the GOP is not happy about it. We'll show you that and more after this.
Okay. Come on, Ida Rola. Keep it real.
What?
It's not the heat. You're not hot in the studio, bro. It's the myocarditis that you're suffering from.
It's the myocarditis, which I guess would be like if a fungal infection got into the middle layer of your heart tissue. Anyway, maybe he's actually doing scientific work live before our very eyes. Anyway, by the way, hold on. Skittlebutt Dragon Rass says the ocean is pre-cooking the fish for Florida. Jesus. Yeah. I am Sock says the water off the coast of Florida, that's 101 degrees. It's a new world record. This is fine. This is fine. Come on. That's fine. A hot tub around an entire state. What's the problem with that? It saves money. Anyway, we're going to move on to other news. If you're just joining us now, please hit the like button if you're on a platform where that makes any sense. To the rest of you, thank you for watching and or listening. We're going to jump into some news. The GOP is absolutely furious that the Democrats are putting forward some actual ethics guidelines for the Supreme Court. Senator John Kennedy declared that if the new legislation was adopted, it would, quote, destroy the United States Supreme Court as an institution. Senator Lindsey Graham said, this is a bill to destroy a conservative court. This bill is going nowhere. All of us are going to vote no. Okay, well, geez, you're clearly worked up over this, Kennedy and Graham. So what is it? Well, Senate Judiciary Committee advanced legislation that would require the U.S. Supreme Court to adopt an enforceable code of ethics and adhere to stronger disclosure rules following a series of revelations about luxury gifts and, you know, high dollar gifts and trips and all of that. It would give the Supreme Court 180 days to adopt a binding code of ethics. It would, quote, require parties and those, providing friends of the court briefs to the court to disclose any recent gifts, travel or reimbursements that they've given to a justice and, quote, create new recusal requirements governing gifts, income or reimbursements given to judges. This is normally where we would continue and we would list all of the other insane radical things that it does. But no, that's what it does. So just to be clear, do you know what would destroy a conservative court? Making it so that you have to disclose if you're given gifts and if those who are participating before the Supreme Court have given you gifts, they have to disclose it too. That would destroy the Supreme Court. That would, let's see, it would take out the court as an institution. It's going, no, it's disclosure. How pro-corruption do you have to be that this wouldn't even stop the gifts or the trips? You just have to admit that you did it. And you might have to recuse if somebody who just took you on a multi-million dollar cruise is before the court, you could not be involved in it. That's all it would take, JR, to destroy the conservative Supreme Court. What do you think?
It's constant admissions. Look, people keep talking about these politicians, keep talking about in broad daylight, the things that's supposed to be going on in smoke-filled rooms behind closed doors. They keep saying it. You know, there's the majority of conservatives on the court. I'm trying to find the point with any of this legislation that talks about how only the conservative members of the court have to adhere to some code of ethics that have to then report their travel, their trips, their monies, their reimbursements, and everything else that they're given and bribed upon. It's not just the conservative members of the court that would have to do this. I'm still looking for that language. But I heard that there's this deep state that's running everything in our country. Governmental deep state figures that they're involved in the swamp, and we need to uncover it and get out all the dirty people who continue to use and abuse and corrupt our society. So when it's actually presented, why is it that these members of Congress and senators are vehemently against it. I thought we're trying to clear the swamp. Why does the swamp not include the Supreme Court? Hey, yeah. Maybe if we mention the few what they consider lib members of the court, then maybe they can start understanding it. The ads write themselves. These guys talk blatantly about how this will end the conservative members of the court. Hey, anybody that works at a grocery store, a restaurant, anything where you have to be a cashier, where you're working the money. At the end of your shift or your night or the point when you're closing up, I've never done this, but I'm pretty sure I've seen it because I've worked in places where I see them. They have to count out the money. Whatever the money you start with and you end with has to match how many transactions have gone through your cash register so that they make sure you're not stealing their effing money because they're only paying you $4.25 an hour, by the way. So if this cashier then is told as they're learning about the job and getting the orientation going and the manager says, yes, you have to count out the cash when you start and count out when you end and make sure that stuff is right, brother. Then they go, well, that's going to destroy the integrity of our entire institution here at the grocery store. If I have to actually let you know that I'm not stealing the money, what's the matter with you? You'd be fired before you start the job. But for some reason on the Supreme Court, you can't have a code of ethics. You can't have any kind of accountability for the things that you do because you're judging people's lives, their rights, their existence, based off of the things that you just want to say. And people will sometimes have cases in front of the Supreme Court. They might pay you to rule in their favor. But we don't get to know that because it might destroy your Supreme Court.
Hey, look, you clearly have a problem with this, JR. That is coming across loud and clear. You clearly have a problem with an approach to the Supreme Court that just lets them take as much money as they want and do whatever they want. But, you know, take it up with populism, because that's what that is. It's just populism. You know, it's anti-elite. Anyway, it's so ridiculous how you can create a narrative, like a brand that you want your party to have or your movement to have, and you don't have to do literally anything to not actively undercut it on a daily basis. And people will still believe it because they like the idea of it. You can say that you're anti-elite, that you're, you know, against the deep state, against the establishment. You can do literally everything the establishment wants, but as long as you F over trans athletes, I suppose it's even. I guess we'll just buy what you're trying to sell. Anyway, Sheldon Whitehouse, who was sponsoring this legislation, said, "We are here because the highest court in the land has the lowest standards of ethics anywhere in the federal government. That is indisputable. There's less ethical obligations on those with the most power given to them for the rest of their life than there is on petty bureaucrats. And justices have exhibited much improper behavior, not least in hapless efforts to excuse the misdeeds. This cannot go on. Defending this behavior defends the indefensible." Yes, and that is now, I guess, the official job of Kennedy and Graham. By the way, it would also bind the liberal justices. And any future liberal justices would also have to abide by that. It doesn't matter. And because that's what this is about. They don't just not care about the corruption of the conservatives. They're willing to allow the libs to be corrupt too, because the system is supposed to allow for corruption. Anyway, GOP members of the judiciary panel tried to add on stuff that they liked to this bill. A number of different amendments. Senator Ted Cruz aimed at blocking any future attempts to add justices to the Supreme Court. Most of those were rejected by the Democrats, including Cruz's. By the way, I love how utterly pointless that is. Like, first of all, that the Democrats are actually going to push for that. But even if, let's say that they were, that like we've finally reached a point where we're going to fundamentally remake the Supreme Court in the same way that happened multiple times in an earlier phase of American history. Everybody pretends that like on day one, there were 9 justices. That's not true. But anyway, let's say that they were going to. Oh, we can't do it because Ted Cruz put an amendment in this bill. Duh. What a pointlessly impotent thing to do as a senator. But anyway, it didn't succeed. That does not, by the way, mean that this package of ethics reforms is going to go through. Because remember, the Republicans control the House and they are just as corrupt, just as beholden to the elites as the Republicans of the Senate are. So don't expect much to happen. Any final thoughts?
No, it's pretty obvious what's happening. Again, they don't have to hide it anymore. Everything that it was supposed to be hidden and happening behind closed doors, they just want to tell you now because it's too much trouble.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Okay, well, let's turn to something a little bit more positive, perhaps a little bit more productive. We'll see. We're going to jump right into this video.
This month, in the hottest month Texas history and many of our cities. On July 4th, it was the hottest day in recorded world history. Supposed leaders entrusted by us to do right by us, like Governor Greg Abbott, stripped workers' right to a water break away. Shame on you.
That is Representative Greg Kassar, Democrat of Texas, relatively new member of the House, who is acknowledging that we are in truly dire times in terms of heat. Big portion of the United States right now experiencing multiple weeks of record-breaking heat. People are literally dropping dead from how hot it is. And during all of that, as he points out, Texas decides mandatory water breaks. That's a luxury that I can't afford for you to have. So you get out there and you work some more. And all we've been asking for is for someone in a position of power to act like this is the emergency that it obviously is. And right now, what we have is Kassar. He did a thirst strike, going without water, eating, or taking a break until nurses required him to stop yesterday. Washington hit 90 degrees. That's not as high as some other areas in the United States, obviously, but still hot. And throughout the day, as he did whatever he could to draw public attention, the attention of the media to this, he was joined by people like Maxwell Frost, Bernie Sanders, AOC, Ilhan Omar, Dolores Huerta of the United Farm Workers as well. And we want to give you just a little bit of Maxwell Frost, who also represents what is commonly thought of as a red state, talking about this issue.
Oftentimes we get labeled, and you do too, as a red state or this and that. But Greg said it, we're not red states, we're underorganized states.
All right.
And we're working to change that every single day. Florida's not a red state. We're a state of millions of working class and the working poor who are fighting and crying out for relief and what we deserve.
100%. And at this point, what they're asking for is to be able to occasionally take a moment to drink water amidst record-breaking heat, so they literally don't die on the job. JR, what do you make of it?
It's modern times of old things. Like, the regressive nature of this party is outrageous. You know, people talk about how we used to not have weekends or child labor laws and things like that, which, I mean, how many people actually don't have weekends off? You know, that's one of those things we have a stand up. Oh, it's the weekend. Tons of people work on weekends. Anyways, but before those things even came into existence, TGI Friday, because we get Saturday and Sunday off, it wasn't a part of our working experience. Definitely not having a minimum wage, which we're going back towards whittling to nothing as well. Anyway, so this is just another modern version of the same thing. So people are concerned about having a water break in a heat wave. It, we don't even talk about climate change and the fact that we've got these differing huge level events that continue to decimate communities. But just general heat, what if it wasn't even an issue? Because when I was a kid and we weren't talking about climate change as much, it was still 95, 100 degrees sometimes. So water breaks were still necessary. We still did 2 days in August for football before the season started, and people were still damn near dying, as we see every year. So the whole water break thing is just something added on for some reason now, because they're trying to, I guess, collect more money or make sure these 5 seconds of drinking some water isn't something that these non-humans get. It's gone from just having any reality behind it, from just unfettered capitalism. Like, oh, if that 5 minutes is taken, then I lose about 2.5 cents, to just cruelty. It's, you're not worth existence until you die. It's like you're a prisoner. You're going to be picking away at this sand, this rock, until it's a pile of sand or until you're a pile of sand. That's the degree of hatred that people have now for their employees who are doing work for them, which damn near aren't getting paid anywhere near the right amounts. So what's the reason behind this? It's just, they talk about these war on Christmases and the war on Christianity and the war on that. How long until we start acknowledging, from all the vast majority of people in this country, the war on workers, on employees? We have the numbers. But there's this hostage effect that we still have. We're like, oh, well, the big boss man said I got to go ahead and die, so I'm going to go ahead and die.
Yeah.
When is this going to change, bro? This is outrageous, and we're just living in it like it's normal.
Yeah, I mean, as he says, we need to organize. But we should also bear in mind, in both of those states, the Republicans are doing everything they can to make it as hard as possible to organize, both on the labor side and on the voting side. And also, they're continually co-opted. Working class people who should come together to advance their own economic interests are instead convinced by incredibly well-funded liars in right-wing media, whether on Fox News or the independent right-wing media, to instead be more enraged by the fact that a trans person exists on TikTok than about the fact that they might literally die in the heat. Anyway, I've also noticed, by the way, particularly during this heat wave, man, haven't the arguments from the right against the concept of climate change become even more pathetic, even more shriveled up than before? Like, they used to come out swinging against this. These climate scientists are lying. It's for the money. Now Ben Shapiro's like, put on your AC. That's your argument, you intellectual gladiator, you. By the way, how utterly elitist is that? Just run your AC for 6 months straight. Yeah, that's good for you, the millionaire in the studio being paid by billionaires to spread nonsense. Yeah, you could probably run it all day long. For a regular working family, cannot afford to run their AC all day long if they even have AC. Also, yeah, a lot of AC really benefiting the people up on, like, building a skyscraper or laying road. Like, he thinks every job involves talking into a camera. But again, they're the populace, so maybe I shouldn't be so crazy.
John, you ever notice more further west you go in the city of LA, and where people's apartments and residences are, if you're renting or something, there's less likely to have central air conditioning within units because they don't have to, because it's cooler on the west side because it's closer to the ocean. So this whole thing about, yeah, just turn on your AC, everybody doesn't have AC, even if they have the $2,500 to $3,000 a month to pay for these exorbitant costs of these apartments that still won't have AC in them. Just saying, and you still have no control to do so. It's not like it's your house. You're like, oh, I just didn't want to install AC because I have all this pile of money that I'm sitting on. I just don't feel like using it. So that whole, like, you know, the excuse to just go with the AC, it's a blanket statement that doesn't really address reality.
Yeah. Yeah. As Frank Morningtree points out, it's an advancement of his argument to just sell your beachfront property. Yeah. You know, I'm starting to suspect, and I'm not saying it, I'm just starting to suspect that he's not as smart as we were told he was. Anyway, by the way, just turn on your AC. If we were to, if AOC was to propose some sort of massive public investment to weatherize, insulate, replace the windows, put in heat pumps and all that for houses that don't have it, you think he would be a fan of that, or you think he'd have a problem with that? Anyway, they're all such goddamn liars. Under Trader points out, I understand that Liv is apparently injured in real life and this is covering for it, but I'm not happy about it.
Okay. Again? Or the same thing?
Yeah, she has a dislocated shoulder or something.
The same thing?
It might be. I think when she clotheslined Rhea Ripley over the barrier, I think that caused it. Anyway, she goes too hard for her human body. Okay, with that said, thank you everyone for being here. We've got more news for you. We're going to jump into it in just a sec, but if you are just joining us now, hit that like button. It helps out the algorithm or something. Let's jump into this. Those striking, the writers, the actors for the WGA, SAG-AFTRA, need all of the support that they can get. And that comes in a lot of different forms. Many people are going and picketing, very helpful. People are talking about it online, putting pressure on the studios. Some people, their support comes in a different form. For instance, Dwayne The Rock Johnson apparently made a 7-figure donation to the striking workers. We don't know exactly how much it is, because he and his team haven't said anything, but that is at least $1 million, if not more. Now, a representative for SAG-AFTRA said the foundation does not disclose amounts from its donors, but we can reconfirm Dwayne Johnson contributed 7 figures to the Charitable Emergency Financial Assistance Program. They said it is the single largest donation since the foundation was created back in 1985. And Courtney Vance, the foundation president of SAG-AFTRA, said, "It is a call to arms for all of us to know that we just have to step up however you can. Dwayne is letting everyone know, I'm here. What are you going to do?" Now, obviously, for the vast majority of people, we can't do that. I can't donate 7 figures even if I wanted to, because I don't have 7 figures and I probably never will. But there are a variety of different ways that we can support those who are striking. Now, maybe to you, this is not the most important strike. And certainly there are a lot across different industries. But as a reminder that to each of our abilities, we can help them out, even just talking about it and making sure that it doesn't, like, fade into obscurity. The studios would love for people to stop talking about this. And as much as that donation of the strike fund will help to sustain people's lives, help them pay their rent and all of that, it also makes headlines and it shows who the heroes and who the villains are. A lot of people, I understand some people might not like wrestling or they might not like The Rock's movies or whatever, but a lot of people like The Rock. And, like, when he is coming out against the studios, that helps to set the narrative. And, you know, you love to see it, especially with their occasional rumors coming out of The Rock having like kind of conservative values or whatever. Good to see that he's supportive of labor.
Well, I mean, if nothing else, it gives like other folks maybe in the positions that The Rock is in, maybe even better, to do the same. Because look, The Rock isn't The Rock as a movie star and television star as who he is without everybody else that he would be helping with these types of donations. You know, the crew, the writers, obviously. Folks who help the whole thing run, people whose names don't get on the credits many times, who are part of that whole thing. So his seven figures that he donated, if nothing else, it's an indication that, yo, we did this all together. And now that certain folks are being screwed over this and, you know, are directly affected by it, because The Rock can last, he can survive, obviously, without having to dip back into any kind of charity for himself. So to do it this way, it also gives an indication that from the people who are successful enough that they don't have to necessarily worry about these studio execs that are destroying the entire industry, that they're on the same team still. They haven't reached this hierarchy of like, well, I'm rich enough, so therefore I don't care anything else about anyone else that can't get to the degree to the stage that I have in my life. And maybe others will do it as well. We hear, who was it? Was it Kevin Costner? I'm not calling him out for saying he should do anything, but the whole issue with his wife or ex-wife and the divorce and how much, did you see how much he has to be, is paying a month?
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
hundreds of thousands of dollars?
I think it's $120,000 a month or something like that, yeah.
So with that kind of, with those kind of numbers, a month, per month, that's not one time, per month, that to show how far the money can go and how many people actually were probably excited about the donations that The Rock gave. But then on top of that, the people that have even more money than The Rock and the hoarding of the money that goes with that. I can compare it to sports a lot of times. People say, oh, LeBron James made $531 million in his career. And they said, that's exorbitant, crazy money. Who paid him? How much did they have?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. 100%. Yeah, so, you know, great to see The Rock doing this. I think it finally, for all time, settles the question of which was the better Rock, the people's champion or the corporate champion. Obviously, the people's champion wins out here. But that said, he's not the only person trying to draw attention to this. Mike Massa is a 55-year-old stunt performer who, at a Georgia rally, used his special skill set to draw attention by setting himself on fire. You can see a shot here. He was on fire for about 18 seconds. He recently, by the way, was a stunt double for Harrison Ford in Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Stunt workers have never received the due, the pay, the recognition that they deserve. So I hope that they are not lost in all of this. The writers and the actors are obviously, they're the ones on strike. The directors, unfortunately, made their own deal. But both stunt performers as well as visual effects people deserve to be a part of this ongoing conversation. So Mike Massa potentially putting his life on the line. So thank you for doing that. Also, kind of unrelated but related, Snoop Dogg has canceled his Hollywood Bowl shows in solidarity with the writers and the actors strikes. I don't think anybody asked him to do that. He is not obligated to do that. But I like it. You're increasing the toll of this strike, reminding people that you guys are a bunch of CEOs. We're the ones that everyone loves in acting, in TV, film, music, maybe athletes getting involved. Like, I love the social solidarity, even from people who are not really actors.
It fuels the whole thing about Hollywood. It's not just studio stuff. How many people make money off of this veneer of Hollywood? Hollywood. People think California, the state, is Hollywood. If there's a game being played on TV, they show Hollywood. I said, you know, that game is nowhere near Hollywood. It's downtown, or also it's on the west side somewhere. It's in Inglewood, if it's the Rams or something like that. But they still show Hollywood. Everybody benefits off of this idea of Hollywood, which was created by the creators, the people who actually did it. Not these stiffs sitting up in studios in the top floor of these buildings, wagging their finger at everyone as if they've done anything. They've done nothing.
Yeah, 100%. I also just want to briefly mention great work by Ken Klippenstein over The Intercept. You can go to The Intercept to read the entire thing. But bear in mind, the Hollywood execs, the studios are saying that they cannot give in to these demands because they don't have the money. It's not realistic. By the way, 87% of actors earn less than $26,000 per year. Just a reminder. Here's what they're spending on AI like programs and technology and learning about it. Netflix is offering $900,000 for a single AI product manager. And I have two things to say about that. One, That is a ridiculous sum of money to put into any one position, let alone a position that you know is like, it's the kindling for this massive divisive conversation about the future of the industry. So it's provocative to do that. And two, I have a lot of experience with ChatGPT. So, you know, give me $900,000. It's not bad. But anyway, clearly they have money for certain things, just not necessarily for the actors who have given them everything that they have.
I get the feeling that AI project manager might be some studio executive's nephew. Just maybe.
I think that's probably how that's going to go. By the way, super fast before we move on to our last topic. Keyjohn says, breaking, Irish singer Sinead O'Connor passed away. She was only 56. I have not seen that yet. If that is true, that is very sad, very tragic. You certainly would not expect someone of that age to suddenly pass away. And oh God, I just realized Alex Jones is going to be doing a segment about it in the next day. Elon Musk is going to be just asking questions. Mm-hmm. Dear God, tragedy on top of tragedy.
I'm seeing headlines. It looks like, from multiple headlines, it's
looks like it happened. Yeah, that's really sad. Okay, well, we do have to press forward with what remains of our hour. So we're going to do that, but perhaps we'll have more on that in the near future. Okay. Ron DeSantis, you might have heard, fired some of his staffers during this shakeup of his campaign. But don't worry, it was only like 10 people. Everyone's like freaking out, implying that this is a big deal for him. Well, actually, not just 10 people, because he also had to fire an aide who earlier this week, as we showed you, shared this pro DeSantis video that included this shot. Yes, that's a Nazi symbol, the Sonnenrad that you're seeing. So that guy was also fired, thankfully. Nate Hochman, who was a speechwriter on the DeSantis campaign, he was fired, which is a consequence. So good to see that. Will there be like a larger conversation about the fact that someone who is writing your speeches apparently thinks that Nazi symbols are really cool and edgy? I don't expect that conversation will be had. But that's only 11 people. Everyone is freaking out over just 11 people being fired. Sorry, they've laid off 38 of their staffers from the original 90. Every single day, we're hearing about more people being fired. It's nearly 40% of his entire staff has now been fired over the past couple of weeks. Like, immediately after they responded to the initial reports saying people are overreacting, they went and then fired far more people. So maybe this is the beginning, JR, of the next phase of the DeSantis campaign. But let's just point out that generally you do not need to fully reboot your presidential campaign when you're barely even officially running for president yet. We haven't been through a single debate. We haven't been through a single primary. And already you're in some pretty dire straits. What do you think?
It looks pretty bad, man. And all the attack ads or the anti-DeSantis ads write themselves, bro. Look, he's got issue with firing people. How is a president going to initiate jobs and grow our economy if he can't even keep his campaign employees employed? How is he going to work with, unity within the country amongst, you know, we have this divisions amongst races and everything like that. If he's got racists in here putting up Nazi insignia over his face, because did he not know the belief systems of these folks that work with him? Maybe he didn't. Maybe he didn't directly hire them all. But then once you see the direction of your campaign, he went along with it just fine. This is no surprise that there's Nazi insignia in the middle of this ad. Yet again, the guy apparently went rogue and tweeted out. But why does he have these mindsets? What else did he affect with these types of belief systems? They should talk about it. We always talk about how we need to have this open transparency of these presidential candidates. What is it about this guy that you guys like? Who hired him and why did they hire him? What's good about him at all? And by the way, they said they're firing these folks also because they spent way more money than they wanted to at this particular point. He's also bad with the purse. He has no idea how to balance a budget. He doesn't know what he's doing with money. Apparently, these guys are just a clown show, but they'll tell you the opposite every time they step in front of a podium.
Yeah. They've talked about the millions that they've spent, and I don't know what they've spent it on. He hasn't done massive rallies. He's flown around a little bit with some of his aides and given tiny little gatherings. What are they spending the money on? I mean, we know fundamentally what the money is being spent on. It is just flowing into the coffers of people that he knows, consultants and stuff like that, are getting paid 10 times what they should to accomplish 10 times less than you would expect for the money. Man. That's the way that it works. Anyway, you know who's enjoying this? Donald Trump, who bleated, Fox is desperately trying to find a replacement for Ron DeSanctimonious, but only Trump, despite a weaponized Justice Department, is working. Reminds me of 2016, doesn't it? I guess, yes. It is pathetic. It reminds me of how pathetic the state of the Republican Party is, just like it does you. Anyway, that is unfortunately all the time we have at the first hour of the show, but we have more to come, including an interview coming up in the aftermath, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.